Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. Headline this week, Chelsea Tunis out the critics and progress to the knockouts. Today I'm joined by my good friend Brady. How you doing?
Yeah, that was one of the best puns I've had, I think. I think you've been tuning up. You've been tuning up. I mean, that's terrible for me. I was off the cuff. This one was game over, pack up the house, draw the curtains, close the curtain, do everything. But Chelsea have got number nine. The number nine curse is broken. But that was the main talking point from what otherwise was pretty much quite a bit of a run of the mill. It wasn't a dead rubber at all. It was a very live game because we had to win, but it had a very sort of conference vibe feel, but in America, didn't it? So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll let's get into it because it was an important game for us because we needed to draw or win to progress, obviously dependent on the result between Flamengo and LAFC for top spot as well. But the win, it's a 3-0 win. Can't say fairer than that, really. Yeah. In terms of expected goals, we had 1.48. They had 0.07, so not the best from Tunis. 74% possession for Chelsea. 7 shots on target out of 16. Tunis had no shots on target out of 3 shots. And no saves, therefore, for Jürgensen. So
no shot in the box either. All P-rollers.
So. Yeah, well, I think that's why the expected goals is so low, isn't it? They're all from quite far
Jürgensen
out. Jürgensen
could have got his deck chair and suntan. It was a night game, wasn't it? Don't need suntan lotion, but yeah, he could have got his deck chair out and chilled, really. But yeah,
let's do some likes and dislikes. What have you got for me?
I think it's good that in this game there was a lot of heat. It was not just American heat. Actual, pressure and heat from Chelsea fans on X, and they're not representative of the fan base in some ways at all. But there's a lot of pressure after the Flamengo loss. I think people were not really expecting us to lose in the way we did. Obviously, that was conflated by the Jackson Red. I think he could have easily. I think Maresca here, I'm talking about, obviously. I think he always planned to play that weaker team. To go with a B team, basically. That was a Conference League team. Obviously, Fernandez started, but other than that, and Delap's the number nine at the moment because there's no Jackson. Probably the number nine anyway. But he could have easily played Palm for 45 minutes. He could have easily done something like that just to try and get the win, but he didn't. He stuck to his guns. And sometimes for Maresca, him being stubborn in that way bites him, but sometimes it helps him. And you have to say him sticking to that and just saying, no, this is the team, is fair enough.
It's inadvertently helped us losing that game and coming second because we would have faced Bayern Munich if we'd come top, but instead we're facing Benfica and we seem to be on what I would describe as the weaker side of the draw for quality of teams. Obviously, Man City could turn up on that side depending on how they go against Juventus.
For a possible path to the final, actually, on Sky Sports, it was Benfica, Palmeiras, or Botafogo, I think they're called. I guess it would be Juve or City, I suppose. I don't know. And then PSG.
At that point, it's Inter, Fluminense, City. And then sort of.
But we've got, you're looking at Benfica. If you beat them and then Palmeiras or Botafogo, you've got a decent shot of making it to semi-final. Even if you don't win this thing, you're winning, I don't know how much it is exactly, but I think you're winning like 10 million a round for getting through. I mean,
I think we've paid off, it was a joke, isn't it, that we've paid off Delap already.
Yeah, I think with interest as well, I think there's 6.5 million interest on it. Probably pay for 2 years of his wages, or a year of his wages at least. Yeah, it's just, it is, I've said this before, it is a little bit of a money grab, this tournament, but while you're in it, it's kind of like when you're in a Crystal Maze, when you're in a dome, try and grab the money, I guess, and get out. So that's what it is.
That's it. Yeah, I sort of followed on from you, really. Likes for me in this game was obviously a bit tongue-in-cheek from the previous game, but the fact that he made all five subs was nice, and the fact that I got to see Santos playing. So I think that was a big call.
Two full babies, right? For Sarr.
Yeah, Sarr as well, yeah. And yeah, it was like, it's nice because I think a lot of the fans kind of want to see these players because we want to see them, you know. They haven't played any. I mean, obviously Santos has played for us in pre-season before, but it's nice to see them given a chance and given some time, and that's all it was, really. And he got his, 20 minutes, Santos. And
picked up an assist as well, didn't he?
Picked up an assist, yeah. I mean, it's one of those dodgy assists, I think.
It was, I mean, it's an assist for the goalkeeper, really. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's also nice. I mean, Asugo is one where he will clearly come on for either Lavia or Caicedo, like basically every league game, I think. Well, not saying that you're going to hook Caicedo or 70 minutes, but it'd be really nice if, I don't know, you're 2-3-0 up in a league game, especially at home, and you could just hook Caicedo when you've got a Champions League game, you know, the following Tuesday or Wednesday, right? Like,
yeah.
You've got someone who can actually just fill in rather than him and Fernandez just playing 180 like every game. So yeah, it's good to have some options. It seems like Asugo is just going to be, you know, he'll play. He probably will start some of the Champions League games, maybe the odd one, definitely some cup games. So yeah, it's good. Like I said in the previous pod, we do have some options in different areas now.
Yeah, he's quick, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
we thought good. That, you know, I was watching him. I think me and Craig would sort of say, he looks quite quick in the previous game he played against LAFC when he came on. Yeah. But yeah, he's got some speed about him. That's lovely. I love an athletic midfielder.
Yeah, they must rate him because they got that Amugu in. Remember in January, and he hasn't played a minute. So,
well, I think he's gone.
Yeah, I think the reason why he wasn't getting any minutes for Pathway. I mean, I don't think Amugu will probably ever play a game for Chelsea, if I'm being honest. I mean. Might be able to hold me to that. But I think Asugo, when they're throwing him straight into this competition, I think it shows that, you know, they're going to use him. You know, they bought him and threw him. They did like a little media package for him when he was bought. Same with Sarr. They're clearly going to be used. So,
Yeah,
it's good. So,
do you have any dislikes for this game?
Yeah, it was really tough. It's not really a 1-2's thing. A dislike for me is the time of the game, 2 a.m. And it's kind of just almost like a reverse like for, like, so much respect for some of the international fans who, like, especially in, like, you know, in India, I think in India it's like 4.5 hours ahead. So
yeah.
If they're watching like a Champions League game, it kicks off at, like, 12:30. I mean, if you're watching that on a Tuesday night and then going to work the next day, I mean, it doesn't matter if you never go to matches. I mean, huge respect. Just like, I mean, I didn't stay up. I mean, I could probably lie and say I didn't, but I think you and Craig stayed up to watch it. But I didn't stay up. I just caught the highlights. So I'd work the next day. I had a meeting in the morning. I just couldn't do it. And I thought we'd win quite comfortably anyway. But yeah, just massive respect to not so much American fans the other way because they're earlier, right? Maybe they've got to watch games. Maybe you're watching the 12:30 game at 7 in the morning on Saturday. Completely different spectrum, but. Yeah, we are blessed as European fans to kind of watch football at, like, sociable, like, kind of, like, good, you know, good times. So yeah.
Yeah. See what you did there with the dislike.
Turned it round.
Turned it round.
Yeah, dislike. It was not really a game that you really got excited or too annoyed about, really.
Yeah, I struggle. The only dislike I could probably think, which wasn't really a dislike, it's more of a beware of false prophets, I think, with this. It's like, this game was. Fairly non-competitive, I would say, in terms of we could have played even weaker team, and I think we still would have won. I don't think they were like, you know, they're good players, obviously, for that level. But like, I think when the game started, I just never really felt like they were gonna do anything. It was all kind of just smokes and mirrors, and yeah, and I think it's sort of a game that you wouldn't analyze at all. because there's just nothing really you can take away from it, in my opinion. Not only because of the weather, or the, I guess, the conditions, but also because of the opposition. So, yeah, it's the dislike for me is like it's a bit of a... Obviously, we lost to Flamengo and they were looking half decent. Now a really, I would say, quite poor team's turned up and we've won. Doesn't really... You know, my thing around Maresca the whole season was he won a lot of the games we thought he should win.
Yeah.
And he didn't win a lot of the games, he that were probably quite difficult and competitive. And I guess the same has happened really here in this tournament so far. Any sense for a decent team turning up and it's sort of folded like a deck of cards again. So I don't think... my thing is sort of... Bit of a false dawn with this win, maybe, but we'll see. Maybe it will spur us on.
I didn't love also for selection wise. I don't know why he started Jewsby Hall at right wing. He just start Tyreek George and then just put Madueke on the right wing. I didn't really get that. It just feels like he's handing out minutes for minutes' sake. And I think it's been reported widely that Jewsby Hall was going to leave. I mean, Matt Law said that he's definitely leaving, probably going down West Ham, like you said.
I think they're just going to use. They're going to use, like, they seem to buy players and then just kind of use them as options to sell as part of deals where they buy another player, right? So I think if he goes West Ham, they'll be eyeing up Kudus, right? Kudus, whatever his name is. So, like, that's the sort of leverage they'll be looking for.
Yeah, but all last George has started this game and, he got a goal when he came on. So, it's a little thing, but it's just a little thing. But I just don't think you should hand out minutes for minutes' sake at this point when Peel, I mean, Jewsbury Hall, it seems like a good lad and. We've spoken about it. Chelsea hasn't really worked for him. It's been a bit of a dud transfer, but you don't really want to be handing out minutes to players who aren't going to be here next season, I don't think, personally. But that's my risk of choice.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the players. Let's do some temperatures. Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot. Ooh, the freezer. Now, you were first last time, so I was thinking. Now, this is actually really hard because I don't really have a freezer for this game. I don't think I have one. So, do you have a freezer for this game? So hard to have a freezer.
Benenkunku got 7.8 on the foot mobs. Yeah, my only freezer would be, like I said before, maybe a bit of a freezing selection for by Maresca, but I mean, not really. I mean, even Gusto was in the green in this game, so even the guy who kind of camps out in Antarctica at the moment, he found a cave or something and got a fire going. And finally, I got a bit of warmth, but no, I mean, probably the first time ever in a pub, we don't really have a freezer. It wasn't like what kind of game where... Anyone play poorly? I mean, the goalkeeper wasn't tested. It was just a run-of-the-mill average game. So, yeah, no real freezer. I think, there was plenty of freezers in the week before Flamengo, so some can carry over from there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll do a warming up.
Yeah.
We've got to give it to star striker, number 9, getting his goal. Dalap thought he worked hard in the game. He was busy. I liked, he had a good chance kind of towards the kind of early stages of the game where he kind of cut in, beat a few people on the edge of the 18-yard box and then fired off quite a powerful shot. And I was thinking, that's good. That's, I haven't seen that in a while. Someone shooting, a striker shooting from outside the area.
At some pace anyway.
I thought, obviously he took his goal well in the sense of, he controlled it, used good strength to kind of shield his getting between, his body between the man and the ball. And then he kind of cut in with a nice turn. And then the finish was, it went in, is what I'd say. I'm not sure the goalkeeper had a particularly strong game. Ben Said, who's got 4.4 on FOTMOB. So
be our freezer today. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, I think he probably is in the freezer. But yeah, look, and his all-round game was decent. Lappy's busy. He's I think he's going to be solid, solid signing. I think, you know, as I said, we kind of know what we're getting with him anyway. He's Premier League ready. I think he'll score goals, and it's whether he can score goals in the big games that's going to be the real tester for him. So let's see. But yeah, good performance.
He was actually my boarding hot. I just think,
wow,
it's just that goal. I mean, I know Jason Cundy got really excited, and I don't know if he listened to the Chelsea. I was listening to the Chelsea highlights.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he got. I think he kind of was like, it was interesting that reaction, because I think if, you know, obviously he watches Chelsea a lot and he's Chelsea media, Chelsea through and through, he's very biased, obviously. Yeah. But it was a bit like, whoa, we haven't seen that in a while. It was, it was that kind of like, oof, like, you know, he did three things where he kind of barged the player off, did a kind of Cruyff turn inside, and then shot. And now, like you said, Ben Saeed, he might need to buy a protractor, because I don't think he quite got his angles right there. He's kind of, he was in the wrong bit of the goal. I mean, it was kind of just like, you could pass it in, really. But, I mean, he took it early, whether he meant to or not. And he's got that kind of socks down, cavalier. I'm not going to say he reminds you of Costa, because they're completely different players, but he's got that socks down, aggression. That's great, you know. And, you know, there's other things that I think Jackson sometimes could do a little bit, like running off the ball and pressing, I think Jackson would be better at. But on the ball, I mean, there's training clips of him and Caicedo just whacking the ball in. Obviously, training is training, but he can hit a dead ball. We've saw Ipswich last year. He scored goals from outside the box. He can take penalties. He's a bit of an all-rounder. And, you know,
how many of, like, the best strikers in the league, like, even if you think back to, like, you know, when the Premier League sort of came together, think about, like, the best strikers, how many of them would you not allow to take a free kick?
Yeah, I mean, not many.
Yeah, whereas I would never give Jackson a free kick.
No, imagine Jackson taking a free kick.
But he's like the striker. It's so funny.
I don't think they'd even bother putting a wall up.
But I give Dalap a free kick. I think he can hit the ball.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah.
So that's like a bit of a, you know, it doesn't really mean anything, but that's a bit of a measuring jar.
Let's say you're in a final and you've got five penalty takers, he's definitely one of them, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Top three, so I mean, Jackson's never getting a penalty. I mean, maybe be like top six, top seven. I haven't actually seen Jackson take penalties, but you can't imagine him being a, you know, pure striker in that sense. And yeah, he's just, you know, I'm not, you know, it's difficult. There's that Jurgen Klopp gift where, you know, he gets really excited and then he calms down. It's a little bit like that. You can get ahead of yourself because he's scored a goal against a pretty poor side, but he just, I don't know, even in that Flamengo when he was through on goal, when the goalkeeper saved it. He's just got a bit of bite to his game in like kind of every area. And like,
yeah.
I think he might get sent off this year for Chelsea. I think he, like, you know, a little bit like Nunes, not similar, but like maybe the move will get to him a bit. Maybe first game, I'm not going to say he's going to get sent off for Stamford Bridge in first game, but he's definitely got a bit of fire about him. Like, so he's got a bit of a kind of red card, kind of getting in the fight risk, maybe, especially VAR. But he has got a bit of, you know, he's Premier
League. He's like an ice hockey player, isn't he?
He did something pretty stupid in Flamengo game, actually. Like, Jackson got sent off, but like, did a pretty naughty challenge where he kind of elbowed the guy in the ribs. Yeah. But he's almost got the appearance of like a rugby player almost. Like, he's got that kind of build, right? So, yeah, be pretty good in the scrum. But he's, yeah, I mean, not getting too excited. But I think what you're going to get, my prediction would be, you're going to get 10 to 15 goals from him in the league. And maybe the same for Jackson. If you combine that, that's like 30 goals. So it's not bad. If the other attackers chip in, we should be hopefully getting. And you said, I remember you said that. I agree. Now that the defense has improved, scoring more goals is now the focus for me. You know, it's when we're 1-0 up, we've got to go 2-3-0 up and kill games. So that's up to the attackers, and obviously it's going to be a big part of that department.
Yeah, scoring goals is the hardest thing to do in football. As we all know,
definitely.
It's impossible to like say that it's easy to figure it out and to get it right. But you know, how many times a season did Liverpool score on the last minute, or you know, Arsenal and City and whatever? You know, you got to be able to get the ball in the net at the right time at some point during the game. So yeah, good signing.
You're fine with that. He's actually not played much football recently either. He's kind of on the McKenna kind of. I think McKenna knew he was going. So I think he managed his minutes. And he was injured the last 2 months of the season. I remember he didn't play the famous Chelsea 2-2 of Ipswich. He didn't play that game. I think he came on. So he's actually hasn't got tons of match fitness, and he looks pretty sharp, so it's encouraging.
Yeah. All right. So who did you have for warming up?
I think I have a few for this game, but I'm going to give it a toss in. I mean, I don't know if you saw the clip where Cole Palmer was filming him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. clapping him for winning the player of the match.
Yeah, you could... I don't know if he's taking the mickey. You could have, like, a soap opera, you know, of Tossin and Cole Palmer. I mean, obviously, Tossin's, like, a big leader, and they called him uncle, but I think he's more like a big brother. I mean, I think he just... And I think he was captain for this game, was he? Or when Enzo went off, I think he was captain. It suits him, the armband. I'm not saying you should make him vice-captain.
I agree.
But I'm not saying you should make him vice-captain, because I think Enzo is showing some real leadership qualities, and him and James, the way they celebrate together, they're clearly the one and two. They talk to each other. But I think if you've got, I mean, maybe if you're playing like an FA Cup game or neither of them are playing, I think Tosin should be the next captain, because he looks most natural as a captain. He looks like a leader. Obviously, in this game, he scored a goal. I just think he's also form-wise growing into the team a bit. I think you'd have him over Trevor Chalobah at the moment in terms of. I mean, I'm a big Trevor Chalobah fan, but I think he's a better fit. I think I saw an ex as an accountant said he's a better fit for Chelsea, and I agree at the moment. He's obviously Fofana. Hopefully, he's going to come back, and it'll be Colwell Fofana at number one and two, unless we get a big centre back buy, which I don't think it looks like we're going to. But he is growing into the team, into his role. You know, from we've moved from Fulham to here, he's my warming up.
Yeah, and you know, his goal, right? That was a great header, amazing header. And again, you know, I thought that we had a lot of the ball in the first half. But we didn't really, wasn't a lot of end product a lot of the time. A lot of passing around. I think we could have moved the ball forward quicker. And I think his goal, you know, from the set piece, just really. As soon as that goes in, you know, the game was dead, basically. But it really opened us up and gave us a little bit more calmness that we could probe at the right moments. So, yeah, that was a really important goal, and I thought he took it well. But, yeah, all-round performance, really good. I think, like you say, there are question marks. Obviously, Fofana was first choice, so there's a question mark there for sure. Obviously, Fofana is forever injured.
Yeah, I think there's two players in the team that have. I mean, Reece James seems, I mean, touch wood, seems to have got some fitness back now. I mean, he seems to be playing regularly. There's two players in the team who need to prove that. I mean, this is a kind of a weird phrase, but like to prove their fitness. It's Lavia and Fofana, right? And then probably they're two of the best players we have in those areas. But, you know, you can't rely on that. You know, you can't rely on Lavia until he shows you can play 10 games in a row. And it's the same with Fofana. Wesley Fofana is a really good player, and Poch loved him, Maresca loved him. He's very aggressive, he's a very good fit with Colwell, because Colwell can maybe go a bit deeper, and then Fofana can also play man-to-man, which is really handy against teams like, you know, City. And I mean, he wouldn't be too bad against Haaland one-to-one. He can go man-to-man and be very aggressive. That's where Chalobah really struggles, but he's not around, so toss him, you know, he'll fill in and he'll do a good job, and he doesn't usually put like a 5 out of 10 in. Usually he's kind of that 6 to 8 out of 10 area. So I think, like we said before, I think we said he was like one of the best value buyers, or I think he nearly picked up an Esca, didn't he, for one of the best value buyers. So yeah, I think he's really good. I think he's literally warming into his Chelsea career.
Yeah. Alright, we can do, I mean, there's a few shout outs I would like to give.
Yeah, there
were a few. Boiling hot. I think first, the shout I'd like to give is for Nkunku.
Oh.
He played the whole game, but he looked lively.
Yeah,
first time I've seen that since maybe, I don't know, sort of back in the Conference League period in the group stages. Yeah, he looked really lively, up for it. Whatever was said to him or whatever's been going on, he seems to be, for this game, he certainly seems to be enjoying himself. I thought he played really well, linked the play up nicely, created the most chances in the match, won a lot of ground duels, did some dribbling, which was good. Maybe like to see a few more shots, but yeah, I think this was a weird sort of re-welcome back for Nkunku. Whether he stays for the sort of into next season, I don't know, but you know, we need someone to back up Palmer if he's going to play in the, that sort of 10 spot. So, I mean, Nkunku is sort of like quite well drilled for that. I thought he was pretty good last season in preseason as well in that position. So, yeah, I think there's a, who knows what's going to happen, but I thought he had a really good game to call it out.
It's funny with Nkunku because, you know, they're looking at spending like 80 million on like a backup 10, and you've kind of got a player there who's, you've looked something like Kudus. I mean, Kudus is a different player to Nkunku, but let's say that Nkunku was just like on the market and we got him in. Like, you've been thinking, wow, that's a great buy. It's just really weird what's happened to him at Chelsea, where, like, the Liam Tooney spoke about it, where that him getting injured in America was a bit of a sliding doors moment for the club, actually, maybe in a good way, because it meant Cole Palmer got so many minutes. Because, yeah. Once Cole Palmer was in there and fit, he scored that penalty against Burnley, he never looked back. And I think that's obviously for the benefit of the club, because we can all agree that Palmer's better than Nkunku. But, I mean, if we're in the Champions League, and Nkunku's got like a hat-trick versus Man City in the Champions League. It's like, he has, I know that Craig's going to be like laughing and scoffing, but he has like Champions League pedigree. Like, before he came to Chelsea, he was like hot stuff. And I think, you know, there's been links of a Garnacho. I mean, I don't really talk about Garnacho. You know, it makes me want to throw up a little bit. But I don't like Garnacho. But I wouldn't really want Nkunku to go to United, because I do think he'd do well. Not that United are, well, maybe they will be direct rival if they improve. But yeah, in this game, he looked lively. And I think if you play Nkunku anywhere in the 10 regular, anywhere not 9 regularly, he'd look pretty good for Chelsea. It's just when he played 9 regularly, he just looked awful. But it's whether he's willing to just chill out and be back up 10, probably not. He'll probably get annoyed. And, you know, when he's not starting games, he's not always the best at coming off the bench. He doesn't always seem very motivated. So, but yeah, I agree. He had a good game.
Yeah, I think it's hard, obviously, you know, with the opposition. But the thing about I like about Nkunku is, like, he's very creative. You know, he wants people moving around him.
Yeah.
I feel like that is quite difficult with probably the people that were selected as well. But Delap can be, you know, he's sort of a great person to have in that spot. So I think he's got much more intelligent movement than Jackson.
It's interesting because he's supposed to be linked just really quickly. Like, I'm not sure. Like, if they price him at 50 million, I'm not sure who's going to buy him. Because I think Bayern have, I'm not sure, they've linked to Bayern. I can't see Bayern going in for him. Who's going to buy him for 50? I mean, yeah, well,
we can have one of their players maybe as well.
Maybe, but
Musiala, what's he up to?
I don't know. He's quite a good trade for us.
Bring him home.
I'm not sure they're going to quite go for that, Chris, but that wouldn't be a great good thing. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think he probably will go this summer. I'd put it like 80, 90%, probably near 90. And all the, like Ornstein and all of them, the big football journalists, the trifecta or whatever, all the big football journalists say that he's going to go. But, I mean, he's got to be sold for a market, and we won't have much time to sell him after the Club World Cup. So I have to wait and see. Maybe he'll hang around, but who knows.
I have to remember you calling him hot stuff. So we'll keep going.
I mean, I was really excited when we bought him, but he obviously didn't turn out to be
good. I was too. I can still get on board with him, Nkunku. It obviously is. He's at a good age, you know, 27.
So. He has a lot of ability. I just don't think the Premier League suited to him, because he needs time on the ball. And like you said, I think he needs to be sort of one of the main men in the team, and players working around him and him being the creative force, where it's always going to be Palmer of Chelsea. So it's difficult to kind of have them both in the same team. And Palmer seems to really dislike him. Like, he's always shouting at him, and like, they don't seem to connect. So I don't think it's going to work, to be honest. Yeah.
I was going to call out another player, but do you have anyone you wanted to give a little mention to?
I think Sam Ashapong's really good again. I thought Sam.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I knew it's no someone called Sam Ashapong, so I called him Sam. Josh Ashapong was Josh really good. Ashapong,
yeah.
Josh Ashapong was really good. I mean, Malo Gusto was left back, but, you know, you just put Josh ahead of Malo at the moment, wouldn't you? He's very assured on the ball, 2 out of 2 successful dribbles. Not to kind of diss on Malo Gusto again, but I mean, looking at his academy background, they're throwing about common players, all of them, even if they come or go, they always are very comfortable on the ball. Do you know what I mean? They're used to having the ball at their feet. They don't mind having the ball in pressure situations. They've played a lot of youth games, a high level, like FA Cup youth finals. They're used to a bit of pressure on the ball. So He just seems quite chill as a player, quite relaxed, and yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I like Josh's game. I think there's a lot to like about it. I was watching Real Madrid in their game not too long ago. I can't remember who they were playing now. Pachuca. And they obviously just signed Huijsen.
Yeah.
The guy from Bournemouth. I can't pronounce his name, I think. And like what I really liked about him when I was watching him play, because I've watched him play a couple of times and I wasn't that overly impressed with his defending. But what I would say is on the ball, he is outstanding. And one of the things I really like about him, which I'm sure we'll see, you know, next season and we'll see in the Champions League, is when he gets the ball, he's not afraid to start dribbling. And this is something that we used to see from Terry, Rudiger, even Cahill, you know, at points, Carvalho. You know, you don't just get the ball and then you're sort of feeling like, oh, I need to pass. You know, they can run past people and, you know, that opens the game up. It opens the press up, you know, destroys the press, basically, especially when they're going man for man. So, because you're going to draw people in. He was really good at it, Huijsen. What I liked about Josh during this game was how he was kind of doing that as well. So a lot of the people would, you know, comes under a little pressure. His first instinct is to, if he hasn't got a pass on, is to then run forward with the ball and open the game up. And I think that is a very, very impressive trait, which I haven't really seen from the current crop that we have as well. And, you know, Gusto doesn't probably have the legs to do it as freely as we've seen Josh doing it. So... there's a lot to like about him. He's a bit, the only thing I say, he's a bit awkward sometimes on the ball. I never feel like he's 100% got control of it. So, that's something he can work on.
He has to be nerves or like he is just, it can.
Yeah. And like that will maybe improve with time. You just, you know, closer control of the ball. But yeah, I think there's good signs there. I'd like to see him in a more difficult game play there, but we'll see that in time, I'm sure.
I'm looking at stats for it actually, but it's like 6 out of 6 ground duels won, 5 recoveries. And I love this stat. I mean, this is always a good stat for me. 11 passes into the final third. And like he had 108 touches. So like 10% of what he did was passing into the final third. That's pretty good. Like he's always looking forward to pass through the lines. Maresca will love that. And Maresca loves him. I mean, he said in the presser that I literally. I'm in love with Josh Aschenpong. I mean, he's clearly going to be around. He won't be loaned out or anything like that. So, I think he can keep loan sale. Did we say loan? Maybe we did, but I don't think he will be loaned, to be honest. Maybe he will.
Back to the notes on that.
Maybe. I think Craig said he might be really good for a Championship side, which is, you know, can definitely be helpful. But I don't know. Like you said, like you get one injury to Reece James and we don't buy right back, you're in trouble. You're going to need cover. So, I think, like you said quite rightly, I think overstocking a fullback is a good idea this season because of, well, the deputies that we have and James's and Cucurella's, you know, importance to the team. You need backups. So
I think you've got to remember, like, the Carabao Cup's there, the FA Cup will start in January.
Yeah.
Games will be midweek. You know, the Premier League games will be, some of them will be in the middle of the week. You know, the games come thick and fast. I know it's like, oh, you can't rotate the team because of the conference. League like you could last season, but we'll still need to rotate. You know, you can rotate a position. We won't be rotating the entire team.
We'll be rotating a Champions League game against like not elite opposition on a Wednesday if we need to raise Reece James for like Liverpool on a Saturday. In my opinion, like you can play.
You can't do 90 minutes, can he, Reece James? So
no, you can play. No, not really. Yeah, well, like can Reece James play Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday? Maybe not. So,
no,
like, you're going to have to start. You know, obviously, Gusto is going to be the main one, but let's say Gusto's injured, I would have no problem playing Aschepong in like against a, I don't know, like a Lille or I always use that example for Champions League. I don't know why a Lille or like a mid-table team or whatever, like playing versus like Brighton or whoever. Like, I'd be happy with that. So, I think he's a good player. I think he's actually a more accomplished player in a way than George is. Like when George comes on. He looks like he still hasn't quite got his man strength. Like, even though he scored, you feel like he's going to develop into a player physically and he still looks quite raw, even though I really like him. Aschepong looks like just like more refined in terms of starting, right? So
he's big and tall as well.
Yeah, he actually started a Premier League game last season. He started Palace away, I think. He hasn't started George in a Premier League game. So I think that says something, right? So yeah, I think he trusts him a bit more than George. So yeah.
Well, we got some breaking news from Kieran Gill must have been hearing what we've just been saying, because he's just tweeted saying Chelsea have no intention of selling Josh Achimbong.
There you go.
This summer. There you go. So, there you go.
I mean, we did.
Rising star.
There was that kind of up and down, wasn't there, about him signing? I think his family, or he was reluctant to sign a long deal. Eventually, Chelsea got it over the line, but I mean, that was clearly a big deal. And in terms of, you know, there's a lot of players that basically, I mean, there's links here that they're suitors that want him for 35 million. I mean, he's worth 35 million already. And Dortmund, funnily enough, are looking for Josh Achimbong. That might have to do with the Gittens deal, maybe.
Well, I think they're quite close to getting Chukwuemeka on loan again as well.
Yeah.
So obviously got a good relationship there.
Yeah. Have you got any boarding hots or anything? Anyone?
Well, I guess we've got to talk about the Enzo Fernandez, haven't we?
Yeah, we can't miss him out.
We can't miss him out. Craig would be livid so far. He'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about Enzo. But Enzo is great.
I kind of don't count this Club World Cup as this season. Does that make sense? It's like, in my head, the season over, and this is a new season, but the stats count towards last season, if that makes sense. It's a bit weird. So like,
yeah, it was declared before the game, before the tournament, it would count towards,
yeah,
well, theoretically, this season, which is last season.
It feels like a separate thing altogether. I wouldn't really count to next season either. It's kind of weird. But
you've got a transfer window as well. It does feel a little bit cheaty.
Yeah, definitely. But he's got a lot of assists this year. I haven't got the exact numbers. I'm pulling it up now, but he's got a lot of assists and good assists. I mean, that cross for the free kick is good. You know, solid. He's got 16 assists all comps this year, if you include the Club World Cup. That's pretty good going, man. Nine goals. This is all non-penalty. I don't think he scored a penalty, did he? Got 25 GA in about 3,700 minutes. I mean, that's pretty good. Very good, actually, looking at that. It's like, that's a goal assist every 150 minutes. I mean, that's
very good. Six goals, seven assists in the Premier League is good, I think.
Yeah, really, it's solid. I mean, it's what you'd look for. It's what you look for in that area. I mean, probably like hoping for a bit more, a little bit in an eight, maybe. But like I said before, we don't want him in the 10 like we did against him. Like, sometimes he gets a bit excited, Maresca, and goes, I can play Fernandez there, but you can't. He's an 8 or a 6. Like, you can't play him too advanced. You can't get. He's not a good 10. He's not like
he doesn't have the legs. He just gets caught out too easily.
He's not an Odegaard or De Bruyne in his prime. He's not that player. He's not like a Lampard. I mean, even Lampard's more of an 8, but he is not that kind of. You don't play him in the front four, in my opinion, ever, really.
He doesn't the issue he's got is he doesn't have, although he scored the six goals, his shot isn't very good, I don't think.
No, it's weird. He's he used to have an absolute P-roller, and I think he's been training. He has got a bit more bite in his shots now, a little bit, but he's very side footy, placey in the far corner.
He's finesse. He's a very finesse finisher, isn't he?
A lot like Hudson-Odoi. Very rarely shoots with his instep, with his shoulders. That just never puts his foot through it, really, at all. Like Caicedo can, he just bang it. So he's more of a placer. That's why he's quite good at, in the box, he's quite calm, arriving, because he doesn't need any power. But he is, I said to Craig, I think his Chelsea career changed when, I think you weren't on the pod on this, but we spoke about it. Remember Leicester away when he broke into the box and scored? It was last season. He's broke into the box to a tap-in from 5 yards. I've never seen Enzo Fernandez before that in his Chelsea career under Potter or Poch get that close to goal in terms of breaking into the box. And I think that changed his career because Maresca told him you need to get into the box more. You're not getting into the box enough. They must have looked at some videos or some analysis and gone, you're not breaking into the box. That changes Chelsea's career because he's got so many big goals this season. But obviously, the biggest one was the Conference League final goal. Breaking into the box. He wasn't doing that a year before that, ever. He wouldn't be anywhere near that. So his heat map's changed and it's helped him.
Yeah, agreed. The assists in this game were really, really good, especially the free kick, like you said. Important player for... Well, I'd say important player for us, but obviously this game's a bit of a non-entity, but... In this game, he was especially important because obviously Lavia was marshalling that area, and he was the kind of moving in between into kind of like a 4-1-4-1, like Caicedo would have been doing, where Lavia playing where Caicedo was last season. It does leave us quite exposed, but I guess when the opposition isn't terribly good, it doesn't really matter. And then you get his box presence, like you say. Yeah, he's doing some wonderful things in this game. So lots to look forward to with Enzo.
He'll be very good in the Champions League, I think, against some teams. Against some teams that aren't heavy pressers, maybe against, I'm being a bit cliche, like an Italian team who don't press as much, maybe, or whatever. When he gets a lot of the ball in the Champions League, he's a very good player because he can make things. He can break down the low block because he can play, but he can play through balls. He can play through the lines. He's also good versus a high line, obviously, because he can play balls over the top. So, yeah, he's handy, but it's in the games where you're playing against a Liverpool or something, and you're going to get exposed by a massive press and get isolated up the pitch. That's when it's going to be a problem.
Think back to, like, remember West Ham away under Potter, where he played that kind of curling pass to Joao Felix.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I feel like Jackson and him have never really got on in terms of a connection, but maybe this Delap Fernandez thing could have some legs to it. Feels like a bit of a, you know, something's going on there. I think that, you know, a good understanding of what, you know, what this person's going to do, but when they get it. And I think the more that interaction happens, obviously the more trusting it becomes, and you get, hopefully Delap can get the ball in some tight areas where the pass might not look like it's on, and then he can make something out of nothing. And that's, those are the big difference makers in tight games.
I think of all the players and midfielders, they know you can basically just old school, a bit like 2005 football, chop it down the channel and Delap will hold it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you can actually just kind of do things. Delap can just, there's a lot of things that Delap will improve. It will improve Rob Sanchez's long ball percentage. And it'll mean that Fernandez, you can just chop it over the top and Delap can hold it up for other players. Jackson just can't really do that. Like, he can run beyond, but I think he actually spoke about that, how Fernandez has been telling him to make runs in training, and they've already been talking, obviously. So, yeah, I think Delap's been a bit of a fresh air for the rest of the team in a way, because, you know, a new player kind of keeps the players on their toes, but I think it gives them a bit of a different way to attack, a different energy.
Yeah, and I do think, like you kind of mentioned earlier in the pod about Delap and kind of free kicks and stuff, but, you know, he's someone who can win a lot of fouls for us and get us up the pitch, so... Yeah. You know, that'll be an important part of his game that he needs to finesse. And I remember Drogba, I mean, you know, Costa was booked quite early on for diving in that Burnley game, his first game, and he kind of got earmarked as a bit of a diver. There were a lot of decisions that he never got, Costa, because of that. So Delap just needs to be a little bit cuter and doesn't want to be too brutal, because he potentially could help us quite a lot in that kind of thing of keeping us up the pitch. But I think Fernandez is... might be something there. So good to build partnerships, definitely.
But literally, I know we always say if we get 60 million, I don't think Real Madrid are interested this summer. I think they've...
We don't know, because they are, I think, from watching them, they are desperately needing a midfielder. But we'll see.
This is literally no noise. It'd just be a big surprise for him to go in the 2 weeks after the Club World Cup or whatever.
It's hard to know at the moment, I think, because it's so early still with the games to be played, the money that's going to come in for the clubs. Yeah. And obviously, the noise will start once the transfer window opens. You know, there's a lot of nothing going on at the moment, because obviously the players are away, a lot of them. So
I think he'll want to play Champions League with Chelsea as well. He's in that terrible Potter team, and then he's in the Poch team. He kind of deserves some Champions League football, really. He might as well stick it out for a season with Chelsea and then see where he gets it.
Potter unbeaten in the Champions League, is he? No, he lost to Dortmund away, didn't he?
No. But, he did play in the... Did Enzo play in that Champions League team? Did he already come? Or was he...
He must have played in the second half.
Was he not already cup type when Benfica?
No, because the rules changed, you know, four or five years ago about that, didn't they? He's got
Benfica in the next game, so Enzo Fernandez is a massive red card risk in the next game.
Well, he might not play, probably, because...
Yeah, maybe not. We'll see.
Might not be suited to that kind of game, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, that kind of wraps everything up, but quickly, obviously, we've got Benfica coming up on Saturday, which you mentioned. What's your feeling and prediction around that?
I think it's got an energy of just the way the draw's gone. I just think we might turn up at 11 PM on UK time. We'll be in slap 3-0. I just think we're going to win, because I just think this is a bit of an energy in the way that the draw went. And I just think I've just got a feeling we're going to get deep in this tournament. I mean, Benfica are a decent team. I think we're a better team than them. But I think we'll edge it. I think it's difficult. Like, it's, you know, who's going to adapt to the heat? You know, we've obviously got to manage the better, a lot better in the game against Flamengo in terms of energy. And in that game, we're a bit hot-headed. Like, in the first half, there's a lot of like late challenges going in. They didn't conserve their energy properly. They didn't manage the game properly. You've got to be smart in these conditions. So, I think it's 4 p.m. I think, isn't it, in local time? So it's going to be boiling. So
yeah.
Wherever it is, I can't remember it's being played, but it's going to be hot, so we just can't let it be hot-headed.
Is it the sure. Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina?
That sounds hot. North Carolina yeah. sounds hot. I've never been
and
there.
Actually, but... another benefit of coming second in the group is the game Saturday night at 9 o'clock rather than Sunday night at 9, which would have been had we finished top against Bayern Munich. So it really has come our way in terms of favourable. So not for some fans, but for us, that's ideal.
Yeah, that's really good. So I've just got a feeling we're going to get through. I thought we'll just maybe 2-1 or something. Just get through.
Yeah, I actually don't think Benfica are particularly good. I think we will win. I think they're one of the weaker teams, in my opinion. I know they beat Bayern Munich, but I don't think Bayern Munich had their team out at all. In fact, I'm pretty sure almost all of their players weren't playing in the game that they won. And then they beat Auckland, which doesn't mean anything. But if you look at their game against...
Basically a lot.
Yeah, if you look at their game against, like, Boca Juniors, I know there were red cards flying around in that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, they've been poor in their league, I think. And they're not very well ranked in the competition. So... Mm. I think we'll win. I think 2-0. Can I go for
it? Yeah, looking at the first 11, I mean, they've got Di Maria. We've got Angel Di Maria is 37 now. Well, it's got a lot of players like Renato. It's got a lot of like decent players. And they've got Otamendi in their team. It's got a lot of kind of...
Mendy.
They're like the opposite of Chelsea. They've got two 37-year-olds in their team.
Renato Sanchez, there was a time where I really liked him as a player.
Yeah.
But... I don't know what he's hanging around in Benfica for. No one really picked him up, did they? No, he got injuries. And stuff.
I'm not a Benfica expert at all. If any Benfica fans listening, sorry. They do seem like a selling club, right? I mean, they've told Nunes, they seem to sell all their big assets rather than hang on to them. So, that's the way it seems to be.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And obviously, if we win that, we'll play either Palmeiras or Botafogo, who are playing at 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Can Willian play versus us?
SV Willian, I think, I don't know what was agreed before, because you have to...
No, they knocked us out, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, hi, guys!
If SV Willian isn't playing, then surely...
There might be a tactical benching in that game, you know what I mean?
Could get muscled. Might get someone put a bad tackling on him, otherwise.
Yeah.
Kukurea be marking him, so...
Welcome to Chelsea, welcome to Cobham.
It'd be a good matchup to see how good he is. But...
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
No one will ever forgive him if he scores and knocks us out.
I mean, like, he walks into the door and no one looks at him in a dressing room. That'd be terrible.
Right. The only last thing I'll quickly prod you on is Jamie Gittins, that transfer's getting close. There are talks out happening in America. Obviously, Dortmund are out there. Feels close. Is this a good signing if we get him for sort of 45?
One thing, that's Dortmund... Director of football, he should negotiate deals for the government. I mean, he's a tough negotiator. I mean, it's gone from 35 to 40 to 45 to 50, 55 to 60. It's like, wow. I think Chelsea breezed in, think it's going to be an easy deal, and it's not. And I think they're probably have to pay a bit of a premium for him. I know about Gittins. I was really excited about it at first, mainly because it just wasn't Garnacho. Again, a bit more Garnacho slander. I'm not sure. He looks good. He looks technically pretty good. But then Madueke did when he was at PSG, and we see now that you're not a massive fan of Madueke, I'm a bit more up on him, but you see, even I can see the deficiencies in his game. I don't think it's a needle shifter, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think it's like a wow, he's gonna make us a lot better. I think he's gonna make us more solid, give us more depth, but I don't think we're gonna be like, wow, this kid's amazing, to be honest. It'd be hard for him to adapt to the Premier League, there'd be a lot of pressure. There'll be a lot of pressure on minutes because Madueke and Neto are there, and they're not even going to want to be benched. And if he has a couple of bad games, he could easily just put Madueke on the left or whatever. So I'm not sure. He looks like a decent player, but it seems like we're overpaying for him, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll see. It's one of those where it's like, won't know until he turns up, because he is, I think it is still a bit of an unknown with him, whether he's going to be half decent or if he's just going to be kind of a bit of a run of the mill. I think having watched Sancho, I think it could be similar to that, but with pace, which I think will be impressive, because a lot of the issues I have with our wingers is ball control. And I thought Sancho was very good at that, but he lacked that kind of that edge with pace and beating people that kind of put him in a category down from like a top player. So we'll see with time, but I think there's a big chance that we get him probably at the end of the tournament.
I think they're actually trying to get it before the game to give Chelsea fans a bit of hype. But I mean, last year it's 8 goals, 4 assists in 1700 minutes. Not bad. Goal assist every 150 minutes. I mean, that's pretty good actually. Got 4 Champions League goals last year. I mean, looking at that, I'm being more excited now actually. But if the Champions League experience is really nice, because, you know, you go in and Madueke's never played a minute. I don't think Neto's played a minute. Neto's never played a minute of Champions League, has he? So, a lot of inexperience. So having a bit of experience in know-how and that. But like I said before, I don't know. I just don't see him coming in and ripping it up. I'm too honest. We'll have to wait and see. But that's not my feeling on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, thanks very much. Obviously, we did mention, but we were without Craig, who's... caring for his newborn baby, so he's we'll wish him well. And
his newborn baby actually was crying and stayed up to watch the game. So proper Chelsea.
Proper Chelsea, early. I think he's gonna the kid's gonna be swarmed with Chelsea kits. Hopefully he doesn't turn out to be an Arsenal fan or anything.
Yeah, he'll have the fur kit, wouldn't he? He'll have all by the time he's won, he'll have I don't think Craig
might have a sponsor in the kit by the time he gets on.
I mean, you know, I work for a sports book. I think the odds are pretty long on Craig Glenn being Arsenal fan. I think he will be a Chelsea fan.
We'll make sure he is.
Yeah.
Brainwash him. lovely. That's all we've got time for. So thanks very much, Brady.
All good, all good.
We'll be back after the Benfica game to give our 2 cents, so watch out for that. But for more updates on all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at EatSleepChelsea and Instagram at EatSleepChelseaRepeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening.